We're still studying wisdom.
Excellent.
From Luke 7:30, but let's go to Luke 21. Well, let me ask you. That's kind of, I'm the wrong one to ask. What have you learned? That's a question. Wisdom can only, the God's wisdom can only be seen by looking through, not looking at. Because all things are double to what they are.
Can you tell I'm looking through you? Right
now? No, you're not. I could tell if you were.
Security guard over it.
What? All right, Luke 21. Remember, this is from the predicate for this study. Was they piped, he didn't dance. They mourned, he didn't lament. And so wisdom never responds or reacts to anything. Wisdom is from a different source. So it has nothing to do with responding or reacting. That's why most of the time when Christ, when somebody asks him a question, he sounds like he's not even answering the question because he's looking through to see what the heart is saying rather than what the mouth is saying.
I have a real good example. When we used to have our intense meetings and someone would cry, oh, break down and be pitiful and all that, and you wouldn't pay any attention to that. You would speak right to the issue and their tears would disappear in a heartbeat as if
it's an act.
Yeah, the act. And I suspect they didn't even know they were acting. You know, we're all kind of dumb. I was very much, I think, a picture of what we're talking about.
Did you cry?
It was someone else. I didn't have my share of crying, though.
What? You've never cried in a meeting with me?
No. I've not on the hot seat.
What did you call the meetings with me?
Meetings.
They weren't hot seats?
Meetings.
All right.
Warm embraces.
Warm and fuzzy. Cut you.
We're going to a particular verse.
Luke 21 verse. Let's start in verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So the idea here is again, means oppose. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or oppose nor resist. And that's why this is a perfect example. You speak not to the surface, you speak to the heart. And that's always the case. This is why what's going on in modern religion is just crap, because it doesn't speak to the heart. It's a system of satisfying or promising to satisfy the lusts of the flesh. It has nothing to do with the wisdom of God.
Take it in Jeremiah where it talks about not being afraid of God's face.
Right, the same thing.
Yeah, freedom.
All right, let's go to Acts 6. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in daily ministrations. And I remember the setting here. Pentecost came, and all of the, you know, as many Jews as were possible came. They came to the Feast of Passover, because they had to be there anyway for the Feast of Yom Kippur. That's when they got their lands back, because it was a Jubilee year. Josephus says there were 6 million that came back. I mean, the population in Jerusalem was 6 million people. That's incredible. I doubt it. I think Josephus is famous for
hyperbole.
Anyhow, so there's a whole bunch of people. That came, became believers. And remember in Acts 3 and 4, those that came back and they were given back the property of their inheritance from because of the Jubilee year, they sold the property and laid it at the disciples' feet. Oh, excuse me, that didn't mean they sold the people that were in Israel, sold their houses. It was all, and all of them sold, well, many of them sold, not all of them, because they thought the end would come at that time. And so we hear, we're going, the thing is going on, and it's before this great bunches of money comes in. And so there were Greeks and Jews and Egyptians, and the Greeks were complaining because the church wasn't taking care of their families. They had, and they hadn't received all the money yet from their, you understand what I'm saying? So that's the bottom line. It's in those days, the number, there was murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "Is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who may we may appoint over this business." Now they had to have wisdom not only in earthly things, but they had to couple that wisdom with spiritual things. So they, this, in this case, the wisdom was both spiritual and natural. It was the wisdom of administration, but it was also the wisdom of spiritual needs. All right? So now let's go to Acts. Well, the same. Let's just go down a little bit. Go to down to this is when Stephen is arrested, in verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And these were all Jews who had come back during this time. Do you understand? Now these guys weren't necessarily believers. They were people that, I mean, they weren't believers in Christ, is what I'm saying.
They were like rabbis.
No, they were just people. But some could have been rabbis. Okay. But they were. You can't imagine. Can you imagine being in Jerusalem during this time? First of all, Christ was crucified. The temple veil was rent. Earthquakes happened. The veil of the temple was rent.
Dead arose.
Right. But the veil of the temple, especially the veil of the temple, was rent. And it caused all the people believe that in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And when the temple was rent, they saw the Ark wasn't there. The Ark hadn't been in the temple since the Temple of Solomon. So what that, I mean, you can't imagine what that did. That's one of the main reasons that so many of the people on Pentecost became believers, because the existence of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies was like huge. I mean, it was like the foundation of their religion. And they opened the veil when God tore the veil from top to bottom, which was impossible unless it was a miracle. The veil, remember, was 18 inches thick of woven hard cords, intricately woven. We can't even imagine how they did it. But it was all of a sudden, my God. You can imagine what that did. The rumor or the talking about that had to spread throughout all Jerusalem. Remember, there were thousands more than were normally there, maybe millions. And so this is why so many of the Jews became believers on Pentecost, because that fundamental foundation, that's the moment that synagogue Judaism arose in the world instead of temple Judaism. See, do you understand this book? If you're a Jew, there can't be a Jew unless there's a temple or an Ark of the Covenant. I mean, that's the basis. You understand that? But now, there's all Jews all over the place, but they're called synagogue Jews because they're still waiting for Messiah to come. That's why I've said often, there's no difference between between Judaism and Christianity. They're still waiting for Messiah to come.
They just don't believe he ever did come.
Well, it doesn't, I mean, that's not the point. The point is, that's why that rabbi in that ecumenical meeting they had in New York and that with Christians and Jews, and they had this big dispute about Messiah, and this one rabbi stood up and said, well, we'll just have to, we'll wait until he comes and we'll ask him if he's been here before. But this is the same thing. The weakness of modern Christianity is that they're still waiting for Christ to come. They don't realize that he has come now in a way they could never have imagined. He is in his people. Do you see this? Why there's no difference? What? You're doing it.
I'm seeing why there's no difference. In that respect, waiting for him to come is waiting for him to come.
Yeah, and the same thing is true if you are. If you're waiting for something to happen, i.e. that so that you can start really believing instead of just acting like you believe, then you're in the same position. But do you understand why so many believers came to Christ on Pentecost? So many Jews came to Christ? You can't imagine what that did when they saw there was no Ark of the Covenant. There was a handful that knew there was no Ark of the Covenant.
It's kind of like a grand deception or something.
It is. It's the same as a grand deception today. Well, they had all these ceremonies. You remember where they tied when the high priest on the Yom Kippur went into the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope around his foot so that in case it wasn't done correctly, they could pull his dead body out. Well, that's all gone. But just think of the number of people that are deceived about that.
a lot of things happened. Like they, it didn't turn white, you know, the little tag on
right.
The thing, and the door opened weirdly without anybody opening it. You know, all that stuff was going on, and everybody was pretty much freaked out, I'll bet.
But the ones that knew, because this was that which was predicted by the prophet Daniel. That's why all of the Jews came, that's why so many Jews came back on Passover. And it's also why so many Jews had, in the earlier years, had moved from wherever they were. Remember we told you about Barnabas and Mark's parents and Barnabas, who was Mark's cousin, that came from Crete. They were extremely wealthy. They built, can you imagine, they built an estate that had that wall around it, that had an upper room that fit 120 people.
Because there was that rising anticipation over the years.
Right.
They knew that those years were up, so something's going to happen. Messiah, you've got to show up here.
Now, can you see why I keep saying over and over and over that it's finished? That every idea, every invention, every plan, every so-called improvement by man has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ? That doesn't mean I'm happy that we have electric lights and I'm happy we have air conditioning, especially this year. But They're not improvements in any way to the mystery of God. That's why I keep saying, if it's not 2,000 years old, it's crap. What? You're doing something, Christopher. What are you doing?
Sitting over there by Gary.
Huh?
He likes forgetting.
All right. He's speaking in code. All right. I didn't even start yet.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I mean, I said Stephen is arrested. How'd I get on all of that other stuff? Oh, I know. In verse 9, there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses. Now again, that's the first fulfillment of what Jesus had said about they shall kill you. All right.
Yeah, and there was a fulfillment of where he said, don't premeditate your
thoughts,
what you're going to say. And surely, you know, Stephen had not. You know,
yeah, he didn't.
You know, I've prepared a small speech here, if you'll just bear with me. It just came out.
All right, let's go to Acts 7. This is Peter's defense, the Sanhedrin. And again, it was your homework. I pray that you would study this, because it gives the whole history of Israel and their rebellion. And so maybe it'll teach you what rebellion really is. Anyway. Well, this is important. So let's, in chapter, well, let's just read the rest of this. This is a good time to do this. In verse 11, we just read, and he suborned men. Everybody know what suborned is?
Not really.
No, I don't.
No.
Wait, where are we?
We went back to six.
We went back to six?
Because we're just going to finish off reading what this is.
Oh, okay.
Suborning is a term of law, and it meant you recruited people either to lie or to participate in a, like you suborn perjury, that means you have you've talked somebody into lying. Okay? You recruited somebody to lie. So that's what they're accusing him of. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemy or blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." Now, can you imagine what if we were setting back then, and the Sanhedrin existed? Can you imagine what they do to us? Can you imagine what if? Well, I don't want to go there. "For we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And the customs there means the rites or the ceremonies or the feasts, for that matter. And all they that sat in council, looking steadfastly in him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, as yet when he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and then they should bring them into bondage and treat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He made him governor over Egypt and all his house." Now, he gave him the wisdom of Egypt. Now, I believe that, and I think we can prove it by history, but it doesn't matter, that Joseph was the first of a line of pharaohs called the Hyksos. And he and his offspring were the pharaohs of Egypt until, as it says in the first chapter of Exodus, "And there arose a pharaoh who knew not Joseph." Now there were two exoduses, according to various sources. The first exodus was when this pharaoh that knew not Joseph, was overthrown, and all the rulers and their offspring left Egypt, and they all went to Greece, and some of them went to Sparta and that whole area. And they left with all kinds of riches and money and knowledge. And then the second exodus, when the poor people were left in the poor Jews were left in Egypt, and then came the persecution that we know of. And then the woman who found the daughter of Pharaoh, who found Moses as a little baby in that her maid found her, then that, I believe, was, well, that's, I don't want to go there. We would spend all night. Never mind. But anyway, there's some really interesting stuff when you study the details of this.
See, if you had been there, you would have gotten off on a little digression like that. Who knows what would have happened? Stephen just kept going.
And he had the face.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, with the face. Yeah.
In this part where it says, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision, is that basically the law, how to do, how to be right before me, how to behave, that I would be pleased?
Well, what was circumcision? What was the point of it?
Is what to do, how to, it's the law. And,
yeah, but what was the, what did it symbolize? Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3. Verse 18. Let's start in 17. For it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also we went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the act of circumcision was one of the first acts of the law, and it showed that what the purpose of this was is to see if in the grace of God that man could be perfected by the law. And but the act of circumcision symbolized putting away the filth of the flesh so that the flesh could be somehow saved. You understand? It
goes on full tilt boogie today. That's the church, isn't it?
Right, and that's why the church, that first predicate of true Christianity is that we died and now we are the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ in us.
Yeah.
Amen? So there's nothing to do. That's why keep saying over and over, your flesh is not being tested. Nothing it can happen to you. If you're hurting, it's Christ. You're partaking in the sufferings of Christ. I mean, nothing is, you're not in the picture.
Yeah, so if you're playing in that realm, you're not even in the realm. You're
right.
We're
and God didn't even see you, because I promise you the religion that's going on internally is so different than that which is going on outwardly. And God only cares about that which is going on internally. He doesn't care what your outward flesh is.
Matthew 7 comes, I never, you know, we didn't,
I never knew you.
In your name. We practiced all the laws.
All right, that's probably a good place to stop. But we didn't, you know, we did. Any thoughts? Anybody understand a little better? Remember, we're talking about wisdom. The wisdom that we were talking about there is that God gave Joseph not only the wisdom of Egypt, but the wisdom of God. He was raised he became a partaker of the wisdom of, and boy, if you want to get a study the wisdom of Egypt, what the sorcerers knew, it blows your mind. But that's all earthly wisdom. See, we haven't evolved. We've devolved.
So we have a stimulus package.
The church doesn't believe in evolution in history, but they certainly believe in evolution of spiritually.
Yeah.
I think we're getting better and better. Well, we're not. We're getting worse and worse. And the arrogance to think that American Christianity is really helping the world is horseshit. They're teaching the same heresy. Go look in Africa and India now. The numbers of pastors that are living like billionaires while they're because of the prosperity gospel. The people are giving their last dime, their last pence, and they shall be rewarded. But God help those pastors. The whole idea of the prosperity gospel has infected all the third world countries now. It's just, the evil of it is beyond.
Yeah, I remember seeing this one thing about a guy who had this Mercedes Benz or something on roads that you couldn't hardly get over, but he wanted to have that as a symbol of, you know.
Right, because because he saw what the Americans
right.
guys had. So they want to duplicate what Benny Hinn has.
And then there's all those Nigerian pastors with jets.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole gaggle of Nigerians prosperity preachers that have their own private jets now. Anyhow. Anybody else have any response to any of this? Help you understand some a little bit? Take it, big guy.
We have to clean this.